One, two, three, four.
Welcome to episode 21 of the Behind the Curtain Ministry Podcast. Today we are talking about a behind the curtain issue, the issue of pornography. For listeners that have been following me and my book effort, getting a book published, my book is about finding our identity in Christ in an over-sexualized world. And so much of my writing in that book has to do with pornography. Most of my writing on my blog has to do with how to overcome pornography. It's been a big part of my testimony is overcoming pornography. And so with that, as I work for Covenant Eyes as well, I was very pleasantly surprised, happy to see Senator Todd Wheeler of Utah publicly bringing to the public's attention pornography and all of the devastating effects that it has on society. I did a blog post just thanking Senator Wheeler for this, and very excited now to have him on the podcast. So, Senator Wheeler, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Noah.
For those of us not, for those listening who are not familiar with your bill, can you just kind of tell us a little bit about what it is and why you proposed it?
Yeah, so it's actually a resolution, and I'm not trying to be condescending, but a bill actually enacts something into law, whereas a resolution is more of a statement of intent or a kind of a message of the body. It doesn't spend any money. It doesn't ban masturbation or pornography or anything like that, all of those things I've been accused of doing or trying to do. And what it does is it actually gives us a new tool to try to protect children from hardcore pornography. And for over a decade, since the United States versus Miller Supreme Court decision, people have kind of shrugged their shoulders and said, well, you know, porn's illegal as long as it's not obscene, and nobody can seem to define what obscene is, so what are you going to do? And this is what we're going to do. We're going to approach it from a health standpoint, because we have the science and the data to show that compulsively viewing pornography by teenagers releases intense amounts of dopamine into the brain. It actually changes the chemistry of the brain, changes the brain wiring. In layman terms, it warps the brain. And there's a cover article in Time magazine this month about two 26-year-old kids who are not necessarily religious or moral, who have realized that because of their use of pornography for such a prolonged period, they can no longer sustain a normal and healthy sexual relationship with someone they love because they cannot get aroused without pornography. It has literally warped their brains, and they're trying to warn other people to stay away from it.
Wow. Now, there was an exciting update I saw just following online. You could give me the specifics of this, that the Utah's Governor Gary Herbert, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, that he signed this resolution about a week ago. Is that correct? Am I correct?
Well, it was a ceremonial signing a week ago yesterday with all of the TV cameras and media there. He actually, as governor, only had 30 days after our session ended to sign it. So he signed it. This is typical for every governor. They sign it in private, and they do a ceremonial signing for some bills that have a lot of interest in them. So, yes.
Yeah, great. Now, I'm going to read this for listeners. I'm going to read lines 31 to 41 from the resolution. And the reason I want to read them is because, you know, as I obviously I'm on your page, and it's almost like preaching to the choir, you know, for me hearing this, and I just really am rallying behind this cause. I think it's really great. And as I read 31 to 41, to me it just seems like a no-brainer. It seems like these things, like who could argue against these things? But obviously lots of people are, you know, in the public and those sorts of things. So I'm going to go ahead and read lines 31 to 41 just for the listeners to have some context. And then I'm curious after I read if you can share with us just what kind of pushback you're getting against these specific claims that are in here. So it says, whereas due to advances in technology and the universal availability of the internet, young children are exposed to what used to be referred to as hardcore, but is now considered mainstream pornography at an alarming rate. The average age of exposure to pornography is now 11 to 12 years of age. This early exposure is leading to low self-esteem and body image disorders, an increase in problematic sexual activity at younger ages, and an increased desire among adolescents to engage in risky sexual behavior. Exposure to pornography often serves as children's and youth's sex education and shapes their sexual templates. Because pornography treats women as objects and commodities for the viewer's use, it teaches girls they are to be used and teaches boys to be users. And it, you know, goes on and on, and I encourage listeners to check out. I'll link to it on my blog. To me, I hear that, and I think anyone, religious or not, wherever someone comes from, ought to agree that this is very detrimental to society. What kind of pushback do you get? I'm sure, being such a public figure as yourself, and this being such a public,
So
what are you hearing?
So I get, you know, three main pushbacks. Number one, you're just trying to impose your religious morals on other people.
Mm.
And number two, why don't you focus on a real public health crisis like, you know, the Zika virus or Ebola or something that can actually kill people? And number three is, you know, why does the legislature, why does the government want to regulate everything and you're just trying to ban, you know, pornography, or you're just trying to control what people do in their own private bedrooms, and how dare you? Those are kind of the mm-hmm. typical knee-jerk reactions I get. And that's one of the reasons I liked the Time magazine article so much, is because it was not coming from a religious or moral. I am a religious
right.
person, and
right.
and I try to be moral. I fail at times, but I try and I repent. And but this really does not, you know, for me, I'm not trying to. I've been a missionary for my church before. This is not, you know, I'm not on a mission here per se. I'm trying to warn people that this is something that's unhealthy. I mean, we warn kids not to go swimming without a life preserver, you know,
right.
and because they can drown. And if we try to warn kids, hey, don't look at these naked images of people having sex, because it could actually screw up your life, now I'm somehow some type of bad person. So
yeah,
it is interesting.
It's amazing, because you think about those three that you said, and just right off the cuff, I think, well, if you look at some hardcore drug that we all would want illegal, maybe heroin or cocaine or something, well, that's something people are doing in their bedrooms as well, in the privacy
yeah.
of their own home. And yet, for the most part, we have no problem with the government. You know, we want the government to legislate that. And I said this in the blog article that I wrote, you know, when I heard about what you were doing, and it's that I could foresee, you know, that legislation of this kind is going to run into all kinds of adversity. And it's because there are so many in, I guess, what I would call, you know, secular society that are looking at pornography and they enjoy it. And they, you know, it would almost be like trying to, if there was a whole society of cocaine addicts and you were trying to legislate that cocaine was, you know, a health risk, you would get the same type of reaction. And certainly I'm not accusing every single person that's giving, you know, pushback that they are looking at porn, but it is so widespread. I think a lot of people have just rationalized that this is normal, this is a part of society now. Meanwhile, I'm like the guys in the Time magazine article. You know, that's me. I happen to be a person of faith, and that certainly plays a role. But I'm just honest enough to say, like, yeah, looking at porn when I was in middle school and high school, it really messed me up. And by the grace of God, you know, there's ways you can, your mind can be kind of fixed. But at the same time, it's everything I read in your resolution, I just say, yeah, I live that. I'm trying to unlearn all those things, you know, that porn taught me. And it's amazing to me that so many people would want to defend porn. I guess that's surprising to me.
Yeah, yeah. And so the brain, the good news here, because I don't want to leave all of your listeners depressed, the good news here is the brain can heal itself. And those neural pathways that you form by compulsively viewing pornography, and often, if not always, that's accompanied with an orgasm. If you can abstain from that practice, and I think, you know, 12-step groups and one-on-one therapy or counseling has proven very successful. Those habits, those pathways, those neural pathways, they will lessen and they will weaken. And just like when you're trying to kick any addiction or habit, like caffeine or anything, so quitting smoking, those first 20 days are going to be the hardest, and then, you know, it can get easier. And then a lot of people will turn to porn like they do with other, you know, to self-medicate when they're lonely, they're bored, they're anxious, you know, they're depressed, whatever. And so I do think pornography is a form for many people of self-medicating, because when you view pornography, it releases dopamine, which is a natural high into your brain, but it does so in a way that will actually rewire your brain and can have some severely detrimental impacts, not only on your life, but your ability to be intimate. I mean, I'm not even talking sexually, just emotionally intimate, sure, maybe with your family members, and it sucks up your time. It takes away, it dulls your senses to everything in life. I mean, mm-hmm, butterflies and sunsets are not going to be as beautiful if you are a porn addict. I mean, there's just no question about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's training, it literally training us, like conditioning us that other human beings are not human beings, but they are objects to be consumed. And that goes against everything that it means, you know, to be human. It goes against how we were created, how we're meant to be. I will say this too. It's long, like you were saying, there is ways out of this. You know, I'm living testimony of that, and helped many out of pornography as well. A good resource that I'll certainly link to with this interview is Covenant Eyes. They're a company here in the Midwest, and they have, and there's others like them out there, but they do a really good job with providing online filters as well as accountability software where you can kind of pick one or the other. But I'm 33 years old, and when I was in like seventh grade or so, that's when internet became much more common, more mainstream, and everyone was getting the internet. There were no filters that people knew of. People thought kids wouldn't be looking at porn, and we were, and we were for a long time until people started realizing, like, oh my goodness, like our kids that we thought were just good kids, they're looking at porn, and it was like too late. We were addicted, and I think many, and now anyone born after, you know, I was born in 1983, so anyone born in 1980 or after, I believe is being raised by pornography. I mean, that's their sexual education, and much of it comes from the online access. It used to be, you know, in my parents' generation, sure, porn was accessible, but you had to go to an adult store. You had to go to you had to buy a magazine off a rack.
You had to climb a mountain when I was a kid to see a Playboy centerfold, and now it's just a little bit too easy.
People are giving their children smartphones, you know, in second grade and third grade, and it's only a matter of time before kids.
And I'm glad you mentioned smartphones, because there's actually some litigation going on in federal court in Tennessee right now. And, you know, when I was a kid, you could buy cigarettes in a vending machine. So there was no checking IDs and things. Any kid could walk in there with a few quarters and walk out with a pack of cigarettes. And we've changed that as a country. I mean, and you don't ever see cigarette vending machines. I mean, maybe if you're in a Elks Club in a, you know, a smoky bar room with pool tables or something, but nowhere that kids have access to a cigarette vending machine anymore. But that phone in an 11-year-old's pocket is a vending machine.
That's
and
right.
It can dispense hardcore pornography. You know, it's also a retail sex shop. If an 11-year-old kid tried to walk into an adult bookstore or a strip, you know, club or something, they would be turned away. And yet that smartphone is a retail strip shop and worse than a strip shop and adult bookstore in their pocket. And that's what this lawsuit in Tennessee is confronting. It's a lawsuit against Google and Samsung and Apple and others saying you are purveyors of pornography. And they're trying to force those companies to sell those phones with the filters built in, and then make people opt out of the filters rather than making good people try to find a way to filter.
Exactly.
Everything's opposite of what it should be.
Yeah, and the phones get handed out like candy, and most parents don't even realize it, or they just don't care. And meanwhile, kids are just having access to this stuff like it is candy.
Yeah.
There was a quote I wanted to read. I was reading some of the NBC News .com articles about your resolution and the governor signing and such. And I was just curious, kind of their perspective. There was this quote. I'm not familiar with who this person is, but from Ian Kerner, it says sex therapist. He's made numerous appearances on NBC. That was the little bio given. So he says, we live in a culture that's very porn hysterical. Hundreds of millions of people consume porn daily. Don't you think we live in a society that looked like Mad Max if it was if it was as dangerous as some people say it is? And that quote made me really angry because I feel like we do live in a society like that. Like, I don't know what world he's living in, but sure, if you walk down like the streets of your downtown, it may not look like Mad Max, but it doesn't take anyone long to talk to people that have been raped and children that have been molested and relationships that have severed, and just the rampant, you know, just sexual deviancy that's everywhere, and to not connect those two dots and to say, I mean, what kind of society do we live in sexually then? These things are, how many rapes happen? You may know a stat for this as an attorney. I don't, but I know there's a general stat out there that, you know, a large percentage of rapes never get charges pressed against them. They never come. No, people never talk about them. They just happen. Well, to me, that is a dangerous society. And I think porn is a direct contributor to the dangerous society. I don't see how respectable sex therapists, you know, and NBC can quote like, this is, Senator Wheeler, you're just being porn hysterical. So thank you for taking the stand like you are in a public forum. And there's many of us that stand behind you and say, it's about time, you know, it's about time that we've caught up. We're starting to maybe catch up to what porn is doing to so many people.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, porn has had this secretive element about it. And, you know, of course, almost every male, I was born in 67, so almost every male in the United States, unless they're Amish, I'm not making fun of the Amish, but, I mean, has seen pornography. And
sure.
But it's not something that you usually talk about at a dinner party. But maybe it should be. I mean, maybe what I'm trying to do is to destigmatize the conversation a little bit.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I've been mocked. And I've been scorned. I've been on, you know, Seth Meyers has made fun of my resolution, and Whoopi Goldberg took a shot at me on The View. And also, I've received a lot of support. I mean, Piers Morgan was supporting me on his new show. I mean, this liberal, I'm fairly conservative Republican.
Yeah.
But so the reaction has been mixed for sure. But the point is we need to be talking, for any parents, any of your listeners who are parents, pornography needs to be something that's open for discussion in your home. And one suggestion I'd like to give to all the parents who are listening to this podcast is sit your kids down. Maybe you're just driving in the car and tell them about the first time you saw pornography. Tell them about it. They will be fascinated. And then ask them about the first time they saw it. That's the way to open this dialogue. And what the parents need to do, what needs to change in this country, is kids need to know it's safe to talk about pornography. Your kids will see it. It's not a question of if, it's when. And they need to feel safe to come to you and say, I saw this, I searched for this, and this is what came up on my phone, and feel safe to talk about it. And if they know they're going to be scolded and punished, then they're not going to tell you. So we have to completely turn this upside down, because the last thing we want is these kids feeling shameful and guilty, because that's going to lead them right back to doing it again, because pornography consumption makes you feel good for a short time.
Sure. That is such a great point. And for many parents, especially parents of faith, I think, and my parents probably fell into this, where at least I was like terrified that I was terrified if my parents found out what I was looking at, that they would kill me or something. Not really, you know, but as a kid, you just think like, I'm going to be grounded forever. And so I can't tell my parents. I mean, what a good point to bring up to parents today. And I am a parent now, you know, and to say, to normalize it enough to say, you know, I want you to tell me, you know, and you're not going to be in trouble, you know, those sorts of things.
But even if you sit down with that, that's going to get their ire up a little bit. So if you just start telling them, like I said, I think the best way I found, there's also some videos I've recently seen about, you know, kids and their bodies. It's kind of more of a cartoon and kind of, that you can see. And I'm not trying to push my religion, but the one I'm talking about, it was just released, and it's the best one I've seen, and it's, you can get it at Mormon.org, and I am LDS, okay. And I'm not trying to convert anybody, but, you know, Mormons and fundamentalist Christians and Baptists and everybody, I think we all agree that pornography is a
right.
plague on our society and
exactly.
an evil influence, and so while we may disagree on finite points of doctrine, we can all agree that pornography is something that children should be shielded from, if at all possible.
Well, absolutely. And that's where so should atheists and people
yes,
that aren't
yeah.
of faith. It's like this, in a part I'm motivated by my faith to speak out against pornography. I believe this is a human issue that we ought to see just like heroin or cocaine or
yeah.
any other things. Like, this is something we do not want our society being addicted to because of what it does to people.
And if I could wax religious for a moment, you know, Christians believe that through the atonement of Jesus Christ, you can be healed and you can be saved. And the fact that our brains can actually heal themselves is almost a testimony to me of that repentance works, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned earlier that these neural pathways that you form, that they will become lessened and dulled. And to me, that's almost a testimony of the atoning grace and of our Savior.
Mm-hmm.
I don't usually wax religious. And
you're allowed to. This is a ministry podcast.
Yeah,
so.
Yes. And I do believe that Christ can heal us of our sins and take them away from us.
Yeah.
And the fact that our human bodies were created in a way that our brains can heal from this plague, it just increases my faith.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one more guy, this kind of goes back to what you were saying, where like Piers Morgan and others were supportive. There's an actor named Terry Crews who have you seen his stuff?
I have.
Yeah, I was really, really pleased to see that because he's like a really popular guy amongst young
yeah.
people and former NFL player, and he does all the Old Spice commercials for people
yeah.
that haven't heard of him, and he does a lot of comedy movies. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, that's his other big one, and he's got these videos, and he is like preaching against porn.
Because
it
ruined his life. I mean, it almost cost
yeah.
him his family.
Exactly.
And he's woken up from this porn
yeah.
fog that he walked around in for decades. I actually, this might blow your mind, but when I presented this resolution I'm in the Senate in Utah, but when I presented it to the House, because it has to pass both bodies, to their Health and Human Services Committee, I actually played as part of my presentation a 2 or 3 minute clip from Terry Crews sitting in this car. You know, he
yep,
videoed
that's
himself.
The one. Yep.
Yeah, and I played that to the committee, and they reacted so positively to that. And again,
yeah.
Terry Crews, I don't know his religious beliefs, but he's not approaching this just from a Christian standpoint. He's
right.
saying, I'm a victim of pornography, and it has hurt me, and I'm warning you not to be hurt. But, you know, it's like you teach your kids not to touch a hot stove, you know,
right.
because you've experienced that, and you want to save them that. Now, most of the kids are still going to touch it, but it doesn't mean you don't try to warn them. So.
Yeah, exactly. It's so good. Yeah. So I think about Terry and you and people sometimes say this about me. I think it's easier for me. I'm a pastor and I have a little more of a, for what pastors need to be talking about this. Many aren't that need to be booked. It does take courage. You know, it takes courage for you to confront this issue. I think it takes courage for Terry to say, I'm not just a funny guy, but I have this platform and I'm going to use it. I'm wondering, you know, for people that live in Utah, I think up to this point, there's ways they could be supportive of your resolution. Are there things that people who don't live in Utah, which would be, you know, probably the majority of people listening to the podcast, are there things we could do,
yes.
Maybe on the political end of things, that
yes.
could help kind of spread this message to our state or to the country?
Yes. Yeah, so the first thing is to contact your state legislators. Every listener has a state representative in the state house and a state senator, except one state. I think it's Tennessee does not have a bicameral legislature. But contact your state legislators. You might have to find out who they are, and that's not hard. You can call the elections office and your secretary of state or lieutenant governor. You can Google, like, who represents me, Arkansas or wherever state you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And usually there's a website where you can put in your address and your house number and get that. But email, so this is, my resolution's called SCR9, and it's 2016 Utah Legislative General Session. And so you could tell your legislators, hey, I was listening to a podcast and, you know, the Utah legislature just passed SCR9. It stands for Senate Concurrent Resolution 9, declaring pornography as a public health crisis. I, as your constituent, I'm asking you to look to do that in our state. And the other thing they can do is on social media and in person. I mean, I would be polite, but if you go to McDonald's and see that they have unfiltered Wi-Fi, that means McDonald's is a purveyor of pornography. I've had mothers that I represent in the Senate call me and say, I've got filters at home, and I find out my teen's down at McDonald's with a tablet looking at porn on their unfiltered Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Libraries have unfiltered Wi-Fi. Unfiltered Wi-Fi for a teen is a free ticket to pornography. And
right.
We need to, as consumers and as citizens, we need to start activating, you know, put on Facebook, hey, I was just at our local public library and they have unfiltered Wi-Fi for teens, which means they can see pornography. Let's start a petition and ask the library to not be purveyors of porn to our kids. And same for McDonald's and Starbucks. And there's about
mm-hmm.
25 fast food restaurants nationwide that provide unfiltered Wi-Fi. Which sounds innocent enough, but, you know, if your teen gets a tablet even at school or their friend has a tablet, now they're sitting in the back booth at McDonald's looking at hardcore porn.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned sex ed, and I get that a lot. You know, if we just taught, you know, comprehensive sex ed, the kids wouldn't be looking at porn. Well, first of all, you know, there are 19 states that have what's called comprehensive sex ed. They're the minority, and there's no data to suggest that teenagers in those states look at porn less than teenagers in Utah or other states that have,
mm-hmm.
you know, less information. But number two, no 11-year-old boy needs to see a woman being raped by three men at the same time and her hair being pulled and being slapped around. That's not the sex ed that we want for our children.
Right.
And to suggest otherwise is just ridiculous.
Mm. Wow. Let me break down one thing you said, because I want listeners to be able to get it so they can do it. What you're saying when you say contact your state legislators is basically our House of Representative reps and our state Senate reps.
Yeah.
These are just normal people like you, and they're normal men
Most
and women.
Most are part-time. Most are part-time like me.
And they want to hear, right? I mean, because I think a lot of times we think, like, oh, I can't email them. It's like emailing the president, you know.
No,
like,
they're different.
So many emails, but these are people that want to hear from their constituents, from us, and that this actually to make a difference. I think that's really important for people to know.
Yeah, and you know, I would start on the state level, but there's nothing wrong with going to your federal congressman, you know, for U.S. Congress, because in England, the Prime Minister has been pushing to force the internet service providers to make the internet their default to a porn-free setting, and then allow users or households to opt into it if they want to see those pornographic images. And we can do that in the United States. We just need some of our national leaders to stand up and be courageous. But everything's backwards right now. I mean, everything is backwards. We, as Christians, as people trying to be moral, we shouldn't be forced to pay money to buy a filter. Let's make everything filtered and make people pay money to remove the filter.
Right. Yeah. That's very true.
We can call it a porn tax.
That's right. Yeah. Hey, that's right. I will look for that. I'll Google myself the Who Represents Me site you're talking about. I'll look to that on the interview here. One last question, and then if you want to add anything else, just feel free to. But kind of what are the next steps now that the resolution in Utah has been signed? I mean, I know one analogy you've used is cigarettes, and I know for me the thing I'm most familiar with cigarettes is there's a Surgeon General's warning, you know, on them.
Yeah.
And I know at some point that was a big deal politically to get that passed.
Mm-hmm.
And what could that look like for porn? And are there next steps like that that you or the you know others in your camp are pursuing on a kind of next steps?
So in most states, you have to show an ID and prove that you're at least 18 or 19 to buy cigarettes. And in Hawaii, it's now 21. Okay. We need the internet. You should have to prove that you are a certain age on the internet to view pornography. So that's ultimately where I would like to go with this. But let me use just one last analogy. Car manufacturers adamantly resisted installing seatbelts early on.
Interesting.
And because they didn't want to admit that their product was inherently dangerous. And that changed in the 70s. And I think this lawsuit in Tennessee in federal court, it's the seatbelt analogy. We want Google and Apple and Samsung to actually sell these phones with seatbelts, with those filters installed, and then make adults prove that they're over 18 to remove them. That's where I'd like to go with this.
Yeah, and I love that. And I can already hear, you know, the naysayers saying, well, you can't infringe on my freedom and all these sorts of things. But if you think about things like seatbelts, you think about even like the Surgeon General's warning, you think about legislation against addictive drugs, you know, the heroin and all these sorts of things. All those things restrict on someone's freedom, like a seatbelt or a law against heroin, except we say, yeah, but those things are bad. And so we, you know, or those are keeping us safe or they make society a better place. That's all true of this. I mean, pornography is bad and it would make society a better place if we had these restrictions on it. And my hope is that more and more people begin to, just be honest with themselves, be honest with this issue, be honest with their, you know, with what is done to them and say, it doesn't have to be this way. And I think as a society, you know, the more of us saying that, our society is really amazing. If something becomes popular, more and more people will, you know, follow it. And so I think the more people in these early stages that are brave enough to contact their representatives, their legislators, the more people in this stage, the better. And then hopefully it'll pick up steam, you know, like a snowball effect from here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I appreciate your, you know, I read about you and your crusade and you being so open with your personal life and your struggles. I mean, Romans says we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And so, you know, there's not a lot of pastors that would have the courage that you would have to say, I've looked at porn. I had a problem with porn. I've overcome it. You can too. So my hat's off to you.
Thank you very much, Senator. Yeah, I appreciate that. I think churches should be a place where we're honest and people can come and be real and say, hey, I don't want this in my life. I don't want sin in my life. Can you help me? You know, can I get help here? And the answer is yes. And environment of grace means that I get to be shown grace too, so I can talk about those things. You know that we've all sinned, and when I've been forgiven by the grace of Jesus, then I can. Well, if you judge me, that's your deal.
That's your problem.
I'm not judged by Jesus. I have His grace, and so it allows that. And what's really, if pastors are listening to this, I mean, every single time that I talk on pornography or give my testimony, there will be at least one, usually multiple, usually men who will come up to me in private and just thank me. And they're men that are married. They're men that are strong, you know, leaders in the church, Christians, whatever, like just strong. And they look at porn and they've looked at it for years and nobody knows about it. And then finally, because I talked about it, now they're willing to talk about it. And so I think the more of us talking about it, the better, because then the more people are comfortable to get help.
And one thing I've learned just recently in this issue is when a man, let's say a husband, comes forward and confesses his porn consumption, all of the attention, all of the sympathy is poured on the man who's trying to recover. Often the wife will feel like will actually suffer PTSD type of symptoms, and often she is ignored. And this is for many women, this is the same as finding out their husband's been having an affair, even though it's a virtual affair. And I would encourage you and other listeners, if you know people in your families and in your congregations, the wife, the female, the victim of this pornography use, she needs to be comforted and counseled with as well.
That is a great point. And one last time, I'll just refer people to Coven Eyes, what I like to have on their blog. A whole section of the blog is devoted to women whose husbands, you know, have looked at or have kind of confessed porn addictions, and some great, great resources there written by women to women. And you're very, very right on the need for that. So, well, Senator Wheeler, this has been really great. I just appreciate your time to do this and just for you serving the public in the way you are, and good leadership always has plenty of people naysaying against it, and good leadership stands tall in that, and that's what you're doing. And so from far away in Michigan, you know, to you in Utah, I just say thank you, and to just keep up the fight and keep up the good work. And I'll do what I can over here in the Midwest to, you know, rally some troops to your the cause that you started. And really, it's something that it can spread, and that's very exciting.
Well, thanks. Thank you, and I hope you and your listeners have a great day.
After we got done with the interview, I realized I had been mispronouncing Senator Wyler's name the entire interview. So to that, I apologize. And if you run into Senator Wyler, please know it is not Wheeler, as I've been saying it the entire time. But what a great interview. What a great thing that we have politicians who are making a stand on things that truly do affect people's everyday life, their everyday health. This is physical health, mental health, spiritual health. Very encouraging to see. Be sure with this episode, as always, but go to atacrossroads.net. That's my blog, atacrossroads.net. And I will link there to Senator Wyler's Twitter page as well as his Facebook page. But I also... Covenant Eyes links that I referenced in the interview, will link there to how you can get Covenant Eyes. I will link there as well to the how women who can be helped via the Covenant Eyes blog, women whose husbands have been looking at pornography, kind of what to do, just lots of great resources there. But at the end of the day, we talk about these things because there is help out there. There is many, many, many people who are looking at porn that don't want to be looking at porn. And please know there's help. You can contact me directly. There's a contact me button right on my blog's page. That's what I'm here for. My book, tentatively called Beyond the Battle, but the subtitle is really what counts. We're finding our identity in Christ in an over-sexualized world. This is such a passion of mine, is that through our identity in Christ, we truly can overcome even the desire to want pornography. It's not just a matter of saying, don't look at that, don't look at that. But by being filled with Christ and my identity being in Christ, I don't have to look at porn to find my identity anymore. And certainly all of the ramifications of porn as well. So lusting over women that porn has conditioned me to do, those things can truly be healed and filled in Christ, which is what my book is about. So stay tuned. I appreciate all of your support when it comes to that publishing effort as well. Until next time, I will see you behind the curtain and at a crossroads.